We've seen it in sport, we've seen it in the workplace and in the media, but now we're seeing it in the Oscars. Are the Oscars just another example of a system rife with racism? This year's the Oscars opened with host Chris Rock exclaiming, "You're damn right, Hollywood's racist." Mark Ruffalo and Brie Larson also joined the ranks of a number of nominees in calling for more diversity. There's been an ongoing furor over the large number of predominantly white Oscar nominations. We're joined by Dr. Bruce Isaacs from the Department of Art History and Film Studies at the University of Sydney to discuss this in a bit more detail. Good morning, Doctor. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Mitch. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. So what do you think? Are calls that the Oscars are racist justified?
I think it's a complicated question. Chris Rock, I think, did a great job of trying to open up some of the issues. I think the key statement he made was that there are different kinds of racism and that the kind of racism you see in Hollywood, which I think is absolutely quite visible, is something more systemic. So that you do have obvious kinds of racism. You have underrepresentation of actors, crew, even people in sort of principal roles like director and cinematographer. So I don't think anybody could argue that Hollywood isn't, in a sense, racist. I think the larger question needs to be, how is this simply an example of a larger systemic racism?
Yeah, and on sort of extending on that point, if you look at casting, for example, there tends to be a recycling of actors that directors know sell and sell put bums on seats who incidentally happen to be blockbuster white actors. So how much of a problem is that, do you think?
Oh, well, look, that's the root of the problem, right? I'm not saying that's the only problem, but you're absolutely right. I was talking to somebody just yesterday and suggesting that really what you're talking about is what kinds of people do the movie-going audience really wish to see and who do they identify with? You know, who can they really fantasize about and who can they connect themselves to? Well, if you look at the kinds of actors that are chosen, you know, you're talking about people like Robert Downey Jr., for example, or Leonardo DiCaprio, these kinds of people that show up each year in major roles, they tend to play the kinds of people that represent the norm of society. Mm. When you cast black actors, they tend to represent either a sort of generic, like a generic role, like a caricature. Let's say like a Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction. So that movie makes a lot of money, but Samuel Jackson isn't really representative of a norm in that film. In the same way, you've got people like Jamie Foxx playing Django, or you've got him playing Ray as a bio sort of picture. So I think the point you raise is the most important one. What kinds of audiences are we trying to attract to the movies? What kinds of audiences is Hollywood interested in attracting to movies? And Hollywood is a business.
Yes.
You know, we can talk about racism, or we can talk about their interests in minimizing it, but ultimately, these people put, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars into movies, and their movies are products.
Exactly. And so is that something, do you think they want to change even if they could, or it would be a sort of difficult thing to sort of undertake?
I think they'd want to change it. Hollywood has a strong streak of sort of liberal democratic politics. So they'd want to change it. But America is a very sort of proud individualist capitalist country. So that Hollywood runs as a very sophisticated capitalist machine. So you could want to change it because you believe that's better for society. And look, I wouldn't in a million years say that the executives of Hollywood wouldn't want more representation in their movies. It simply doesn't work that way. You can't suddenly say, I'm going to overturn the racial structure of representation in all of Hollywood cinema, because you would collapse that industry. Nobody would go to the movies. Well, when I say nobody, that's an exaggeration. But you wouldn't get the kinds of audiences you have to get to make a return on, let's say, you know, a $200 million film. You need to guarantee something like $600 million back. So you can't suddenly start casting to make up for sort of political guilt you might feel for damage done over 80 years of the Hollywood studio system.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of focus on the lack of black nominations, but how well are other races represented at something like the Oscars?
Oh, look, I think, trying to think of over the last, these Oscars, I mean, a lot was made of Iñárritu, who won director, who has been a really important figure in the Oscars for some time. And you've got, periodically a strong representation of Latino and other forms of ethnicity. So I don't know that it's just as clear-cut as a black and white tension in Hollywood. I think of a film like Sicario, for example, which, you know, in my opinion, is probably the best film that the Oscars had had an interest in. That seemed to me to try to open up issues, political issues, across the border in Mexico, but with a clear eye toward this has something to do with the politics of the United States. So that seems to me a very sophisticated political argument made about race, ethnicity, history. And look, that's a it's you know, I'm not going to call it a major Hollywood film, but it's a film that got a lot of attention from the Oscars. So I think there is representation. It's the question of to what degree is representation tokenistic? Is it sort of, you know, one example out of a thousand? I mean, Chris Rock said yesterday, you know, people, what we want is we just want an opportunity. The way that, you know, Leo DiCaprio gets an opportunity. And I think that is, I understand what Chris Rock is trying to do, and I do commend it, but I do think that's also a tad naive.
And just one final question, Bruce. I mean, it's very easy for us in here in Australia to sort of make fun of it and, you know, say Oscar's so white, but we don't have a great track record for diversity on our own screens as well. How does the Australian industry, maybe not just film, but television as well, sort of stack up in terms of diversity?
I mean, I think Australia on the whole, because we have a very different, it's structured in such a different way. There's lots of intervention, for example, from government and funding bodies. I mean, probably less than there once was. But because you have that intervention, you, for example, you have the Screen Australia policies that require certain kinds of representation on cinema. That's quite unusual. And so you do see major films funded by Australian bodies, such as Mystery Road a few years ago. I don't know if you saw that. About an Indigenous police officer, you know, Samson and Delilah, that magnificent movie a few years ago. So I do think that the idea of representation in Australia works very differently at the movies, because you have a whole bunch of interests that can provide money. You have government support that's actually looking to engineer cultural change. The problem with that is, though, the problem we've got in Australia is that not as many people go to the movies.
Yes.
Or go to watch Australian movies. So while governments can do that, and while, you know, institutions can attempt to engineer these cultural changes, you do sort of wonder what the long-term effect is, because those films really don't do that well often at the box office.
Yes, we need bums on seats, that's for sure. Dr. Bruce Isaacs, thanks so much for talking to us this morning on
2SC. Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Dr. Bruce Isaacs from the Department of Art History and Film Studies at the University of Sydney, discussing the Oscars So White controversy, and a brief little look at our own industry here in Australia as well.